see, we've grown accustomed.
You feel entitled that you go to the supermarket and you shop and spend money with them. So it is your right then that they should drop you to your door.
You see, you got to be careful. You see, a package has been offered over time and people have grown accustomed to these things. Then you come answer monthly and say, well, you've got to start a pay now. Sorry, Sammy, abruptly, that isn't going to go on well because persons have grown accustomed to your package. That's the fact. And you know this too. You're not going to cost them to this.
And I agree with you. But I see, this is why this government is going to get so much licks. Because quite frankly, I think that Barbadians have grown so accustomed to getting most things free. And yet they don't want to pay taxes. I shouldn't say they don't want to. A lot of people prefer not to pay taxes because they feel they're entitled to X and entitled to Y.
No, I don't.
But you can't have it both ways. From August 1st, most of us are going to get a $45 extra on our water bills. We're going to get this because we're going to be paying for sewage and we're going to be paying for garbage. Correct? You remember?
Okay, yes.
Right, good. In fact, Brass Tacks Sunday, we're hoping to have the Barbados Water Authority here on the show to discuss that. But anyhow.
Right, we'll be interested.
Now, by putting it as a separate charge, the government is now able to remove that cost from the consolidated fund. And that cuts down in the expense of government, while at the same time still providing the service.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, we paying for our garbage collection.
Okay.
But now, I expect, but it has already started when it was announced in the June 11th budget. But I expect, come after August 1st, people are going to keep bare noise. But yet, when the garbage is piled up outside, you're saying, where the garbage in being picked up?
I can follow that. They're good song logic. You're a smart guy too, you know. I said I've taken to you, I say like you. I think I said that to you some time ago. I'm still always said to you. You are not easy. You're witty. You're intelligent, I know that. But you're witty too, you know.
All right, sir. You thank you.
But hello.
Go ahead.
Quickly. Uh-huh. Now, when you're talking about freeness, I was on with Ms. Alice Freider in regard to the tuition fee, et cetera. And he was talking about volunteerism and giving back and et cetera, et cetera. And then he was like at a point, but it was incomplete in my call. Mm-hmm. So I want to finish.
Finish it.
For persons that would have, were listening. My take is, in other words, I think I sort of understand you saying this free tuition fee can't go on forever. But my take would be, and the program is calling for suggestions, my suggestion would be to deal with for serious means tests. And who you're going to establish definitively who can pay. From there, I will go that route. And because there's some persons that are indigent and they definitely cannot pay. I've got a friend. Just be talking here. She has a daughter who goes to Alton College. She does a maid job. And that girl is a high flyer. Now, in another 3-4 years, and she finishes school and cannot get the necessary assistance, you can't really get her now to Brent Beretta or Mr. Price. She's entitled to do something at her academic stride and level to keep her momentum. So I am saying you look at the means test as your priority, your means test, everybody. And then you definitively say, look, you can pay. I don't want your argument. You can pay. But this lady here, or this gentleman, however the analysis upside down, can't pay. So we will subscribe to that person. And that's my take on it.
Fair enough.
And in closing, you've improved on that cooking. Because, you only have lifted at the top. But we can speak on that now.
No, I'm a very good cook.
Okay.
Anyhow, we got to take a commercial break. So I'll talk to you another time. Welcome back to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good morning.
On learning of the death of the late Superintendent of Police, Mr. Douglas Walter Eargard, has caused me to break my silence for the first time on this radio station. It was 34 years and 4 months ago today that I had been robbed at gunpoint. Superintendent Eargard was the investigative officer, and to his credit, a brave sir officer. His investigations revealed who my offenders were, causing three suspensions. I would advise to put them in court by the high in command, which I did. But two superintendents came to my business place at the time and advised me to withdraw the case, which I had refused. One had said to me in confidence, "Mr. Reeks, you can't win with the police. The evidence only has to be gotten rid of." I disappeared. When the case was called, a question was put to by the High Command, and his response, I can't recall. The dummy was asked to be presented by the court, and it couldn't be found. The judge at the time said it was a fabrication. He asked me what I have to say. I said to him, "Sir, I take it wise that it is time where we should have the introduction of light detectors and the reign of body cameras. At this point, let me express my sympathy to his immediate family and members of the Royal Barbados Police Force. And in conclusion, sir, I'd like also to extend my sympathy to the family of the late Vincent Sisnick, the son of the late longest liver in Barbados, who happened to be at the time the second oldest person in the world. Vincent, who passed last week, was a late tutor of the community college. May they all rest in peace and in glory."
Thank you, sir. Brass Tacks, you're here.
Yes, very good morning to you, Mr. Price.
Good morning.
Just one share. Now, I'm just going to make 2 points. First point is observation. Basically, from my observation, and some personal experiences too, going through the various neighborhoods and districts and even heights and terraces, what I've noticed is the abundance of derelict buildings and or abandoned houses.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, in some cases, it's due to they're caught up in court action, or it's just that no renter has come forward to due to bad property management or estate planning. There's no will, and the renters don't even know of the property, and it's just left there to deteriorate. And these are solid 3-bedroom, 4-bedroom, whatever, or houses all over the neighborhood, and just turned derelict and dilapidated. And that's horrible because in the case where housing is an issue in Barbados, those houses, all through districts, are very well in Barbados, you're finding that. And that seems to be a problem and a cause for grave concern, because I think the cooperatives and the credit unions can do education awareness to help its members in terms of estate planning. I know we don't think about the afterlife, but it will happen whether we like it or not. We are all headed towards the Berkshire Lounge at some point in time. So therefore, I think the credit union or the cooperatives and borrowers need to make their members aware that they need to plan for their estate. They need to put a will as to what is what, so that when they leave the earthly remains behind, that this will speak on their behalf as to how the resources are to be allocated. Too many times, good homes are just going into a state of disrepair and dilapidation just because of poor estate planning, you know, and that can't be emphasized enough. Now, my final point has to do with the public knowledge of contracts that were awarded. In one case, it was in the Senate, and where it's alleged that one public officer received more money than the Prime Minister's salary, and that was amazing. As they say, it's public knowledge. I was new to Mika. I thought the governor of the central bank, as you might understand, the governor of the central bank was supposed to be the highest paid public officer, but apparently that is not the case. Now, and also,
how can you say that is not the case? Do you know what the governor of the central bank earns?
I read in the newspaper that the before proceedings are taken, it was public knowledge that the Governor of the Central Bank was the highest paid public officer. I'm not talking about the Prime Minister, I'm talking about in terms of public officers that work for government. I read that in the newspaper. It's, I can't remember which thing, but it's most likely I can remember call it the Nation.
Mm-hmm.
That's public knowledge. And I'm saying, therefore, when I superimpose it or juxtapose it against this backdrop, though, I'm now being informed, because I read the Sunday Sun, that this, that there's a possibility a public officer who salaries and perks of more than that of the Prime Minister, I think is an issue of real and serious concern.
Why would it be an issue of real and serious concern? The whole thing of being a hospital administration is a specialist position. It's a, you just can't put any and every person
to run a
hospital.
Mr. Price. But can any other person run a whole a government entrusted to run a country where there's a multiplicity of skills, sets involved, and so forth, a lot of moving parts, and the whole must equal the sum of the parts? There are a lot of moving parts in government. You know, it's like social engineering. And a prime minister is first among equals, has to make sense of all that. That's why he's chairman. He or she's chairman of the cabinet. In this case, is Madame Prime Minister Ms. Motley. And that person is first among equals, has to make the decisions. When the advisors come to her, permanent secretaries, ministers, whatever, she ultimately has to make the decision. But I cannot equate the two. It looks to me like apples and oranges. Why, as it stands to reason, that you are saying, from your argument, that a hospital director has special skills up above that of a prime minister.
I didn't say that. That is the inference that you are drawing. I didn't say that at all. Okay. That's your understanding, but I didn't say that. Because if we want to take this to its logical conclusion, I can also say that the ministers should be paid more, and so should be the prime minister.
But that's not my argument.
But the whole point is that we can take these things to any sort of conclusion we want to take them, and you can infer whatever you want.
But we can have middle ground. But what I'm trying to, we both you and I can and you trust.
You made the point that this ground. That you thought that the central bank governor was the. Was the highest paid
based on public knowledge. I read that.
Okay, fine. And I asked you how you know he still isn't, because just because the director at the QEH, the CEO at the QEH is paid what he's paid, that doesn't mean the central bank governor isn't paid more.
That's all I was asking you.
Because unless you know what the central bank governor is paid, you can't simply assume that the CEO of the hospital is paid more than him.
I trust and put my confidence in the reporting of the newspaper.
It ain't got nothing to do with that. The report never dealt with the central bank governor. Who is that? So I was just asking for clarification.
From the newspaper article, which said that the governor of the central bank was supposed to be the highest paid of all the public officers. That's what I said. And against that backdrop, I then based my assumption that I was shocked and basically and surprised to learn by reading the article on Sunday, right? I think it was in the back page of the Sun, that there is possibly a public officer, the director of the hospital, that has a salary even more, possibly more than the prime minister. That's where it's trying to just draw clarity. You see, I'm operating from a position of clarity. As a journalist, I'm hoping that I can crave your indulgence to give me clarity, because you'll be able, for your special skills, to do more research and may know of things that I don't, for race it, as opposed to where you sit.
Hey, you go ahead, sir. Thank you for your call. Just want to raise this one, because you remember WhatsApp. This person wants to find out if former MPs are entitled to diplomatic status as far as traveling goes. The reason being that on Sunday, a former MP arrived on a flight from the United States, and customs let his 7 bags pass through without a blink, but as usual, search other people. And one lady was asked whether they didn't search this particular person who just came back from overseas. Why not search this guy, and he had 7 bags with him, but search everybody else? As far as I know, He's a former MP. He's not a diplomat, and therefore he's basically an average citizen. And so clearly he should have been subjected to a search if the customs felt it necessary. So clearly the customs didn't feel it necessary to search him. We take another call. You're on the air.
Hello, hi, good morning, Sanka.
You, Wesley?
Yes, please.
How are you? I haven't heard you in a long time.
I try to make myself a little scarce, you know.
Oh, so that you'll be missed.
Not really. It's time to in order to come back, you got to go away, right? Or in order to come back, you got to leave, right? So I just take a little break, you know.
I see. You in the Calypso tents?
Pardon me?
Are you in the Calypso tents?
Of course, everything.
So what's your favorite this year? Are you your first two or first three?
You can give me back my time when I think?
Yes.
Good, fine, okay. The Calypso tents. Listen, I wish the Calypso tents well. I really wish the Calypso tents well. The Calypso tents in Barbados has lost their focus and their direction, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this trend, the getting subject matters mixed up. Okay?
What makes you say that?
Because a Calypso tent is a place that you go to sit down to enjoy a Calypso that is rendered and sung like a Calypso. And for the most part, I am not saying at all that a Calypso tent should not have party music. But when you're getting a heavy diet of party music in a Calypso tent, the Calypso tent has lost its direction. That's me. That's what I'm saying. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm not at all suggesting that there should be no party music. But all I'm saying, there is a stake in the festival for all genres. All. Even gospel. Right? But the Calypso tent. And that is why people are complaining, hey, I ain't hearing the commentary. Mm-hmm. You know why you ain't hearing it? Because it's not there. The Calypso tent managers placing more emphasis on people that doing the party thing because they want to attract the younger crowd in the tent. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is the direction that I see the Calypso tents going in. And that is why when I went to semifinals last Friday night, okay, this is one semifinals, and I want to say it slow and loud. This is one semifinals that I went to that I did not enjoy. I really didn't enjoy it. That's the truth. And I did not enjoy it because the people didn't bring good tunes. But to me, they're like the authentic people, like they just went through the emotions. You didn't get that bite, you didn't get that sting that I know that the semifinals bring with it.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Every day.
Good.
Anyhow. Other people will agree and other people will disagree.
I don't mind. Anyway. I hate when people agree with me, you know. I like people, but please, I'm telling my fans, though, when I put down the phone from making my contribution, don't call me. Call the radio. I don't want to hear nobody.
Hey, make your point.
Whether you agree with me or not,
mm-hmm.
and you want to talk, call the radio. Don't call me. Because I done with that. Yeah, my point. Yesterday, I listened to you.
Mm-hmm.
With the young lady in the studio,
mm-hmm.
I actually get in, but time ran up on me, right? And I had to leave the call prematurely, right? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I put down the phone before you take my call, or before the producer put me through, because I had to run. I thought it was an interesting program yesterday. I really thought so. I believe that what the young lady she requested by a few callers, and they thought it was unfair. Because when she make that statement about, what is it, Britain Hill or something?
Bailan,
right? People thought that she was condemning the Bailan. People that call in to defend the Bailan say to me, because I was a listener, that, hey, it's people that move in. Sanka, where they move from? Where they move from? Where the people move from? They move from Guyana, they move from Trinidad, they move from Jamaica. Mm-hmm. They move from some community in Barbados. So what I'm saying is Barbados have a problem. And I sure, if you go down the Orleans and face with some disturbance or the Orleans becomes some sort of semi-hot spot, you can hear the residents say, is there people that move in from the BLN? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Good. So I think I did really call in to support the young lady. Mm-hmm. Because it is, Barbados is one community. Okay? And as long as you're a Barbadian, you come from some community in Barbados. And clearly, okay, last week we see a video highly broadcast or widely broadcast across the social network with that fact that happened at my college. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that all of them people that was in that disturbance come from one community? Let me talk. Thank you for asking your question.
No, I take your point.
So you understand what I'm saying. It is Barbados that have a problem. Barbados young people really going, or not all, a lot of the young people going in the other direction. Mm-hmm. Right? I don't know if they want to be popular. I don't know if they want to be famous. And normally, I go into the extreme. Now, I go into the extreme. When some of these people end up at the wrong side of the gun and you interview the community or you interview the parents and grandparents, the mistake that body for somebody else. You understand what I'm saying? But then when you dig deep, you get another side of the story. As a journalist, you can identify what he's saying or not. Or if I'm talking foolish, let me put down your phone. I'm serious.
What you say has a lot of merit.
All right. Let me go. I can see that. I get much support from you.
No, it isn't about welcome support at all, Leslie. It's just that it is one of those issues that I think that there's much more to be said in terms of how we're going to try to deal with it. Look, this thing has been going on and getting worse and worse and worse. We keep talking about it, but for me, what I want to start hearing is how we're going to try to address this situation. You're right. These are people who come from all over Barbados. It is basically a trend in our society where a lot of younger people, but it's not only younger people too, because it's people in the 30s coming down. For my mind, I tired of just talking about something. I want to hear, okay, what are the possible solutions? What can be done? We're hearing that some sort of programs are going to be established go ahead.
In the interest of time, I want to draw something to you. Mm-hmm. You cannot go now to a cruise on a boat cruise.
I feel safe.
Going on some sort of gospel cruise or something, mm-hmm. or some sort of church cruise, mm-hmm. right? And really enjoy the cruise or enjoy the ocean or something without being distracted by the performance of young people on cruises, especially the young women.
When you say performance, what do you mean?
I know what you're talking about, and I know you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but I wanted to explain.
I'm talking about the joking, stabbing, go down, not joking, okay. Stabbing knife.
Yeah.
Right? I'm talking about the expose.
Okay.
And their trend of entertaining themselves. Right?
Yeah.
And I'm saying that is a trend that's happening now, even on cruises, buddy.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah. Barbados want pulling back from the brink that they're trying to follow. But you know what's going to happen? In 2 weeks. When Grand Kaduma hit the road, you can hear people talking. Mm-hmm. You can hear people talking about the skimpiness. Well, I probably being deceitful now, because I go on the road to see the skimpiness. Mm-hmm. I really do. But I also know that is for one day, and that is for Kaduma, and that is what Kaduma, a part of Kaduma, is about. Mm-hmm. I don't think about cruise is about that. I don't think a fact is about that. Let me hit you with the final thing now. Final. You talk just now, you called before me, talk about the salaries and the public purse, right? I basically believe that the Prime Minister of Barbados should be the highest paid person in this land. That's my belief. I believe, and I can say it slowly, I believe the private.
You mean the public sector?
Yeah, public, not private. Mm-hmm. The prime minister should be highest paid person in this land. And I am saying this, and I've been saying this for years, not because Miss Motley is the prime minister today. I thought about it in Sandyford. I talk about it with Oinasa. I talk about it with Randall Stewart. I think that the prime minister should be the highest paid person. I want to say this to you, though. I believe, I honestly believe, there's no CEO. Well, it just covered the whole ram there when it's a public servant, right? But I want to even go a little further and say to you that I believe the gun general office should not come with that high purse. I believe that. I do not believe that when you put your person into that high office, today she's the mother of the land, right? That she should receive that heavy paycheck.
All right.
Because the office is more important to my mind than the paycheck. Okay. And I want to finish by saying this. I believe that the ministers also should get a good pay there. And I believe they do. I'm not calling for an increase for the ministers. But all I'm saying that the prime minister should be.
All right, sir. Thank you. We got to take a commercial break, but just before we take that commercial break, I just want to tell you very, very quickly, the prime minister has the best security of tenure. In other words, as long as you serve prime minister just one day, you immediately can receive your pension at that rate, and you can make so that you have security. Nobody can really touch you in so many different ways. So although you may not be getting a high level of cash as in comparison with a lot of private sector executives, certainly, at the same time, you have a level of security that even the ones in the executive in the private sector don't have. We'll take a commercial break and we'll be right back.
The public is asked to note that the E. Humphrey Walcott building at the corner of Culloden Road and Cullamore Rock is closed today, Monday, July 23rd, due to an environmental problem. Departments housed in the building, the Personnel Administration Division, the Ministry of the Civil Service, and the Unemployment Section of the National Insurance Department are therefore closed to the public. Persons are advised that the services of the Unemployment Section are available at the NIS's main office in the Frank Walcott building. Normal business at the building will resume tomorrow, Tuesday, July 24th. The inconvenience caused is regretted.
Welcome back to Brass Tacks. Just before we go to the phone lines, I want to read a number of WhatsApp messages here since they're just piling in. Good morning. I traveled from Eagle Hall to Spikestown by a yellow bus on Thursday as my car is in the mechanic shop. The driver crawled the journey, taking 40 minutes. The music was loud and ludicrous. The conductor was openly drinking his Smirnoff Ice while the driver had his disguise. There was a sign on the dashboard which read, "Wait if you want to give a F." Is the service they are requesting that more that we should be paid for? And going on to prices, the NSRL is off, but instead of the prices in supermarkets going down, they are rising. Example, a bag of potatoes was $25. Now it's $29. Lamb necks were $12.45 a kilogram, and now it has gone to $12.99. One other person here says, I agree with the call on the semifinals. They were making the point that the semifinals was not necessarily one of the best ones that we've had. And in fact, another person also agrees with Wesley, saying Wesley is right. Attended and left at halftime. The songs were boring and the atmosphere dull. We need an outdoor venue designed for these events. This other person is also saying, regardless, and this is concerning the WhatsApp I read earlier about MPs who, former MPs, sorry, who apparently came through the airport and they had 7 suitcases and customs did not check them. They just waved them through. And this person is saying, regardless of the policy, former MPs continue to get VIP privileges, wrong or right. It is what it is. And this last one that I'll read is, in the same vein that many calls have been made for our cricketers to be paid based on performance, shouldn't the QEH and CEO not be paid based on performance? We do not have any formal assessment of his of that performance, but a multitude of individual horror stories. And then the person goes on to make the note that the annual chief medical officer's report most recently available covers 2009. In other words, it's 9 years behind. So we, the public, have no formal evaluation of our country's health status. And I'll read a few more to you a little later. There's one I'm trying to find again, something from the Light and Power. Oh, yes, I found it here. This person says that they would like the Barbados Light and Power personnel to check out the poll at the bottom of Edge Hill by the yellow apartment, please. This they think the poll is broken. This is a call for the Light and Power personnel to check out the poll at the bottom of Edge Hill. I will assume that it's St. Thomas by the yellow apartment, please. They think it is broken. We go back to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on the air.